Hi, this is John O'Hurley, and you're listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd on thisweekingeek.net.
Bronies, forever. Woo!
Greetings, Phillies and gentle colts. I am your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and this is The Last Exit to Ponyville. And today's episode is special because, finally, all three of our new co-hosts are together again for the first time. If that makes any kind of sense.
There's been some kind of cosmic alignment. The Elder Scrolls have been placed in the 8th house of Aquarius. So, but yeah, the great cosmic event is here. We're all finally in the same room.
I know. I'm really looking forward to it. So, as I mentioned, I'm Mike the Birdman Dub, but I'm joined with my intrepid co-hosts from Nerd to the Third Power.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gonzo.
Hey there, I'm Skyblaze.
And yes, guys, so last time, basically, I wasn't on the last show due to a prior radio commitment. I'm not even sure what game was coming out that day. All I know was a hit in Toronto. So what did you guys talk about on the last show?
You know, honestly, it was so long ago, I have no idea.
Me, mostly, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was Skyblaze's intro episode, and then we also introduced the fanfic spotlight segment, and had a sort of a general discussion on Skyblaze's fandom and a few fanfics that we've come across. So we didn't really break any new ground because we were waiting for you to show up, boss man.
Well, I do appreciate it, and as we said, it has been a little while since our last show. Like I said, trying to get these out once or twice a month, depending, as we are anxiously awaiting season 5. But it's not like there's any lack of content out there with the ongoing comic book series, which I'm sure we're going to cover at some point in the future. Again, now that there's more issues out, other than I think the last time we talked about it, there was like 9 issues. I think they're up to 24 now, perhaps a little bit more. And yeah, so I guess since last show, where have I been? I've been mostly working on stuff on the main thisweekingeek.net website, putting out new shows. Did a topic show with James Rolfe, aka the Angry Video Game Nerd. You can check that out, where we talk about the Aliens franchise and how you can grab your barf bags. Trust me, you'll have to listen to the episode to get what the hell I'm actually talking about.
You did a show about aliens and you didn't invite me?
I didn't know.
As big an alien mark as I am? I thought we were friends, Dodd. God.
I didn't even think about it. You were probably in school, in my defense. But, yeah, so that's what we did. I think this month on the topic show, we're going to be talking about Twin Peaks. That may change in the next little bit, because I still have to find time to blitz through that. But, as of this recording, we're recording this on November 5th. I'm supposed to be getting a rather large hugely expected Nintendo title coming out for the holidays. I can't tell you what it is, but you can probably guess by what I'm saying. And that's supposed to come in tomorrow, and that will consume most of my reviewing time for the next little while. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. So guys, on today's show, what we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about Equestria Girls. That's right, we're going to be looking at this series yet again with the recent release of Rainbow Rocks on Blu-ray. We're going to be talking about that, sort of the Equestria Girls, you could probably call it franchise now, series anyway. Thoughts, feelings about that. We're also going to briefly talk about the Rainbow Rocks Blu-ray, which came to us from Shout Factory, who's pretty much putting out all the Pony stuff currently available, and is it worth your money? But before we get any further, Skyblaze and Gonzo have something to talk about that I really don't have any clue, and that is fan fiction.
Yes, that's right. It's that time again. It's time for Gonzo's fan fiction spotlight. And this eon, at the rate we're going, we are going to be discussing Book of Days by Warren Hutch. Longtime viewers of My Little Pony Friendship's Magic will remember Princess Celestia as the kind and benevolent ruler of Equestria for over 1,000 years. But the question's never been really addressed as to where she came from and how she got to be where she is. And Book of Days addresses that. It is basically a diary-style telling of Celestia's birth and early years so far, as told by Clover the Clever, who you will recall as being one of the founding mayors, I guess, of Equestria, according to Heartswarming Eve. The story basically goes that the Heartswarming Heart shatters, revealing a young Alicorn filly that nobody seems to know what to do with, and she possesses godlike power, so Clover the Clever does the rather clever thing and adopts her. And the story is incomplete. As of this recording, it's at 12 chapters, still ongoing. And it details the trials and tribulations of raising what basically amounts to a demigod. And what stood out to this fic to me is how believable the baby Celestia is. As I'm reading this, I imagine that I can't help but imagine that this is what raising kids actually is like. Maybe someday I'll get there myself, God willing, although, you know, certainly hasn't been for lack of trying on my part. But the standout of this story is just how adorable the baby Celestia is.
Oh, dear God,
I think
yes.
Skyblaze loves a particular moment involving blackberries.
Yeah, she's introduced to food for introduced to solid food for the first time in her entire life. And baby Celestia kind of eats some and looks at Clover as if to say, "What is this? It is amazing." And she says, "They are blackberries." And she says, "Whackberry." And I nearly exploded because, oh my God, it's so adorable!
It's an adorable little story, and it's punctuated with these little moments that show that Celestia was at one point just a small child. A moment that stands out in my mind is one of the running threads is that she has this power, but she doesn't quite know how to control it. So there's a scene where, for reasons, they have to leave the main castle and go off into the wilderness, and a pair of her pony guards start fighting. And Celestia winds up using her magic to fling these two up in the air and basically lay down the law. No hurt, no yelling, be nice. And there are these footnotes that are at the end of every chapter of observations from Twilight Sparkle, who's apparently translating this, with a few notes from Celestia and Luna. And there's a footnote at the end of that chapter that says, "And to this day, that has been the central tenet of my reign." And the footnotes themselves add a lot to the story. Because the story on it on the whole is a largely serious and weighty affair, and the footnotes add sort of a little bit of comedy at the end of it that I thought was a really nice juxtaposition. Especially to see Twilight get all flustered at the fact that she's trying to write a serious scholarly work, and the princess sisters are mussing it all up by arguing with each other in the margins. You almost get the feeling that this is something that should have been written in like a notebook, and you'd see these notes scrawled in the margins, like a little sketch of a monstrous dragon or something. I don't know. Work with me here.
There was the one where Luna's mentioning to Celestia about finding Celestia's entire head stuck in a cake. That was ages ago. That was last Tuesday. Which just cracked me up entirely.
Once again, that story is a Book of Days. It's gets two thumbs up from me and Skyblaze. It's by Warren Hutch. Again, the title is Book of Days, and it can be found on fimfiction.net. Once again, that's fimfiction.net. And that's our fan fiction spotlight for this week. So, Mike, what's next?
Well, I guess we're probably going to start talking about our Equestria Girls discussion point for this particular episode. As you and the fandom well know, there have been two Equestria Girls movies released by about, what, maybe a year, 2 years apart, give or take?
About a year, maybe? Almost exactly 1 year.
Almost exactly 1 year. And they've, in my opinion, have been fairly successful, despite the fact a lot of us, when the idea was announced, it looked frankly kind of stupid. Like, I remember initially when I saw the leaked images come out of, I think it was like a Toy Fair or another source where they showed the initial designs for the Equestria Girls dolls, I'm thinking, oh my God, these things look absolutely horrid. And going into the movie, I didn't have a lot of high hopes for the first one. And I gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised by it, actually. Just how well the character designs actually did work. It wasn't super jarring, all things considered. And the story made sense, in a way. And then with the...
Well, as much sense as talking candy-colored ponies coming to the human world can be.
As much as we can do that. And then looking at the sequel, Rainbow Rocks, which came out earlier this year, I gotta say, I enjoyed that one a lot more than I was expecting to. In fact, probably one of the better cinematic experiences I've had this year. actually, and that was a very pleasant surprise. And I think the soundtrack to this one is way better than the first one, and it should be because it's more musically focused, so to speak. And
it's basically Daniel Ingram wrote all of these songs, and if we don't let him sing them, he will kill all of our dogs.
I don't have a dog.
I have cats. But coming into this, I mean, what did you guys think when the whole Equestria Girls thing even was just beginning to be announced? Things are starting to be developed.
I for my thoughts, I refer you to the image I post on Facebook with that same Toy Fair article with an image of Sean Bean from Game of Thrones underneath it saying, brace yourselves. Just fucking brace yourselves. I did not have high hopes for this. I was like, yeah, I know Hasbro's a toy company and cash grabs are kind of their thing, but it's like, oh my word, they're not even trying anymore. So after thinking, I decided that, you know, this is given, I mean, we were all surprised by My Little Pony, the show, when it first came out. So I was like, well, this is either going to go one of two things. This movie is either going to be awesome or it is going to be a monument to all of our sins. And I was pleasantly surprised by the first movie, very, very much so. And the second one, I actually wound up liking Rainbow Rocks more than I did the first one, for reasons that we'll get into in a moment.
And you, Skyblaze?
When I first came across the whole Celestia Girls thing, and I didn't know that it was going to be like a direct reference to the original series, as in, you know, to Friendship is Magic. So I thought it was just like, oh, they're girls now. Oh, for fuck's sake. And that kind of, you know, Barbie, unrealistically shiny, happy nonsense that I was really pleased that My Little Pony didn't do. And so I thought that they were just having this excuse to actually do that pretty pink nonsense that hurt my eyes and my brain. And then I saw it because I it was on Netflix, I think, and I was bored. And I watched it and was like, this is far better than it has any right to be.
I think that was actually largely my expectation as well when I went into it. Like, this shouldn't be this good. And I was actually very pleasantly surprised. One of the things I've noticed with the My Little Pony property is the people that are in charge of it, the creative minds, not just the people in marketing, genuinely seem to care about the stories and the image that these cartoons are kind of going out there, which if anything, this pony fandom has definitely taught me is to expect the unexpected with it. And the fact that there's so much love in the creative department, I can't see the team in charge of this that was actually writing it saying, okay, it's going to be a cash grab, let's just throw something together, 20 minutes, let's go break for, I don't know, friggin' lunch or something. And what they came out with was something genuinely interesting. And the fact that they were able to cross Equestria Girls into the main pony continuity and actually have it be, in essence, a logical extension of it, genuinely surprised me. The fact that there is the Equestria world where they're all ponies and whatnot, and then the human-ish world where there's the crossover, and the fact that they share common enemies. Like, there was the original Sunset Shimmer when she was banished, then there was the Sirens in Rainbow Rocks, and now at the end of Rainbow Rocks, there's even a post-credit sequence, so taking a cue from Marvel, where there seems to be another Twilight Sparkle who seems to be the true human counterpart to that world, trying to figure out what everything means.
Mm.
So I'm waiting for Equestria Girls Days of Future Past, which
well,
would be awesome.
That's getting a bit ahead of ourselves here. Let's say we recap the plot of this film first before we begin speculating on the next one.
All right, make it happen.
Okay, all right. All right, so plot synopsis. Basically, since the end of the first film, Sunset Shimmer has made good on her promise to you know, turn over a new leaf and try and become a good person. So she's ingratiated herself with the human counterparts of the main five and is making a genuine effort to you know, be a good person and you know, go on a journey of self growth and make up for, you know, all the shitty things that she did prior to the first film. And here we approach the first point that I really enjoyed about this film is the fact that the events of the first film aren't just forgotten and shoved under the rug. She's actually paying for her mistakes in this film, and she's finding it very difficult to convince everyone else, you know, hey, I'm not this evil she-demon anymore. I'm genuinely trying to be a better person. And it's one of the running gags of the film is that they just, whether through design or by action, they just they keep reminding her of the fact, hey, you once tried to take over the school and raise a teenage zombie army. And this film really feels more like Sunset Shimmer's story than anything else. It's her story of redemption and trying to make up for her past and trying to learn how to be a genuinely good person. And I really enjoyed the fact that they gave her an arc. When I first saw the trailer for this film, as me and my father went to go see Guardians of the Galaxy, which was a very awkward conversation after the film, I thought that she was just going to be there just like, you know, it just says just sort of a mythology gag. But no, they actually gave her an arc in this film, and I felt like it was very well written. The villains of this piece are the Sirens, other banishees from Equestria, which leads me to suspect that Equestria is simply using our world as a prison planet, who witness the closing events of the first film and discover, okay, this could be a way for us to either get back home or conquer this film. So they ingratiate themselves to the Canterlot High community and wind up, through the use of their manipulative powers, turning the musical showcase into a battle of the bands. And the main five in Sunset Shimmer, because of their own exposure to Equestrian magic, are somehow immune to their abilities, and they see what's going on, and so they summon Princess Twilight from the Equestrian universe to come back and lend a hand. And here's where we come to the first major obstacle, which is the usual routine that works in the TV show. Friendship is magic, magic rainbows, and everything is magically fixed. Doesn't work this time. So the impetus of the film is they have to come up, because the Sirens use magic, they have to use music. They have to come up with a musical counterspell. So the Rainbooms, that's the name of their band, enters the Battle of the Bands in an attempt to... excuse me, I'm getting tongue-tied here. Enter the Battle of the Bands to stop the Sirens and save the world, yada, yada, yada. Typical, you know, typical save the world plot mixed up with some high school drama. But, of course, the Sirens, they can't just fight on a fair field. They have to try and tip the odds in their favor. So they work subtly to manipulate events to turn the Rainbooms against each other, which drives the other plot of the film, which is that nobody seems to be able to get along with each other. So, that's the basic rundown of the film. So, what were your guys' general thoughts on the film?
Well, for one of the things that I didn't... There was something about the first Equestria Girls. I felt there was an art change from this one to Rainbow Rocks. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just really used to the designs now. There's just something about the art style in Rainbow Rocks I really loved. Especially Sunset Shimmer. In fact, I'd actually rank her... probably my second favorite Equestrian person, I guess, next to Derpy Hooves now. And it's simply because I love the look of her. And even the character, as you mentioned, she got an arc. And she seems fairly well fleshed out. In fact, I'd love to see her cross into the main show at some point. I think that'd be really friggin' awesome. Or maybe... well, once again, I'm just kind of speculating. But I genuinely enjoyed this movie from front to back. There wasn't any moment where I was kind of bored. I felt there were times that the first Equestria Girls kind of dragged. In this one, no, I was literally engaged the entire time. And I think that speaks something very well to the quality of the storytelling in it. And the music, not to be understated. A lot of the Siren stuff I really like. I actually bought the soundtrack for this. And I love the Sirens music, because it's got that very new popish feel to it, but also reminds me a lot of the stuff I grew up with in the 80s and 90s when it came to a lot of female kind of pop star stuff, and I really, really, really like it.
A lot of their music kind of had a bit of a Motown kind of vibe to it to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was just me. There was a lot, because there was some very nice harmonies, and a lot of it wasn't auto-tuned. Because auto-tuning is one of those things where once you've heard it, you can't unhear it. And while it was present on occasion, a lot of it was actually done properly, which is so rare these days that my ears almost exploded.
One of the things that I really dug about this is to kind of talk about more about the sound of the music. It reminded me of very early Destiny's Child, in a way, some of the stuff there. And I really kind of dig that sound because I don't listen to nearly enough female artists. But when I do, I really kind of gravitate towards them for particularly long periods of time. And I don't know, just I want to hear more. Like, in fact, this is kind of one of those movies where I want to see more music come from it. I'd like to see what ended up on the cutting room floor. In fact, there were they did release bonus songs, so to speak, on the Blu-ray. And that was kind of, these were the promotional shorts you could watch on YouTube or the Hub or the Hub's website at the time, I think. And I'd like to see more full songs come out of that. I mean, I'm presuming you guys have seen the movie Hackers, right?
Nope.
Jesus Christ. Okay,
it was it was a long time ago, but yes, I did.
Okay,
you're old, Mike. Accept it.
I know, 33 and going to hell. So there is a soundtrack for the movie Hackers. And one of the things that it did right is it spawned three awesome soundtrack albums. And it was called Music From and Inspired By. Rainbow Rocks is one of those movies I'd like to see what else could have come out of it, or invite other artists to come out and do stuff. Maybe talk to some people from the Pony Music community and said, if you were given a chance to score a song from Rainbow Rocks, here's your chance. The best ones end up on the CD. As a prize, the Pony team will animate a 3 or 4 minute song for you or something. That's something I would have liked to have seen come out of all this. And with the first Equestria Girls, I liked most of the music, I would argue, I really liked, especially the cafeteria song and the one that happened in the gym, which I completely forget. But yeah, there's just something about the music in this that it stuck with me, and it's probably some of the best music I've heard this year. And now, that being said, let me preface this. I don't listen to top 40 radio anymore. If it isn't classic rock or 80s cheese, I pretty much don't know it unless it's nerd rock. So,
oh man, you and I are going to have a metal odyssey at some point.
I don't know. I think Daniel Ingram, in terms of people that write music for television shows, especially children's television shows, this guy's got a gift. Genuinely gifted. And the people he has performing with him, I like to think you can feel the passion come through on these tracks. Like, never does anything feel half-assed with it. Like, they could do, like, the original My Little Pony movie that came out in the 80s. They could just sing, you do the dirty work and I'll do the schmooze. They could have
phoned that
in. Speak
not of the dark days of yore.
Soon we shall visit that dark place.
I think me and Gonzo, actually, for my introduction episode, actually talked a bit, because I'm 31, so I'm old enough to remember the original show as well.
My wife showed me that movie about two or three years
ago. I'm very sorry.
Ago.
Is there anything I can do?
I wish I could unknow the meaning of the word grundle. That's what I wish, because the grundle...
We all do, dear boy. We all do.
Oh, terrible. And Optimus Prime is the voice of the Grundle King.
Yep.
To speak of such things as to invite the gaze of evil beings and to tread those halls as to walk into the depths of madness.
That's another.
It could be worse. It could be G3.
Yeah, that terrible, terrible abomination. Though I did like how they referenced that in one of the Pinkie Pie episodes in season 3.
I know, right?
I guess, what are some of the other thoughts you guys have about this movie? Like, does it work as a film?
Well, I think Skyblaze has yet to give her thoughts.
All right, give her.
The thing that impressed me is that everybody had a character story. And not necessarily a direct arc, but they all had their part to play. Whereas if you look at the previous movie, Equestria Girls, a lot of the characters did kind of get a bit of a short shrift. I mean, Rainbow Dash hardly got to do anything at all. She had the soccer match with Twilight, and that was about it. She didn't really get to do anything else. And Applejack didn't get a huge amount to do either, which I thought was a bloody shame. Because it was a story. It was about Twilight and Sunset Shimmer. So nobody else really got a look in. And this time it was really Sunset Shimmer's story, but everybody else is kind of included in it. Which for a series that's about the magic of friendship, I think that's it makes a lot more sense.
Uncomfortable silence.
What
did I do?
There.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else I really liked. When my Blu-ray came in, I watched the movie twice in one sitting. The first was to just watch it, and the second one was to spot the fandom nod. And oh, we had some winners this time around. Stand-up moments include Bulk Bicep playing a violin.
That was adorable. I wanted to put him in a box.
The appearance of Lyra and Bon Bon playing a piano duet. Of course, Derpy playing the hacksaw, which I doubt that works.
That's the thing that really happens, which astonishes me constantly.
And my personal favorite, Vinyl Scratch, aka DJ Pwn 3, and her transforming stereo / car.
I remain astonished that the car didn't make the noise when it transformed.
That would have been friggin' amazing.
Which is ironic because they used the noise in the first film.
I know, and I was like, "What? You should have used the noise, guys! Come on."
You can't have a transforming car and not have it make the Transformers noise.
Yeah, exactly. In my head, it made the noise.
It's just not done, dear boy.
Correct.
I'm trying to think of what other... Actually, I was listening to the DVD commentary before we recorded the show, and they actually make kind of reference to that. They're actually thinking, you know, we should make that toy. Can we get the Transformers team on that? And it was two members of the Hasbro team talking. Now, that being said, I would be willing to pay for a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, even if they just repainted a Transformers toy in the DJ Pwn 3 colors. I would pay for that. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yep. Odds are good, you probably will.
As a DJ myself, I was just sat there looking at the rig going, I want that.
It honestly surprised me that they turned her into a plot point and they made her involved. That made me so unbelievably happy.
Yet she didn't.
Because she never takes off her headphones.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And honestly never speaks, or at least as far as I can remember anyway. I like to see that Hasbro and the Pony team, they listen to the fans. Sometimes for better or worse, but they do listen to us. They do acknowledge us. And I can't think of any other TV shows outside of maybe certain live action sitcoms that pay that much attention outside of, I guess you could argue some of the kind of Marvel stuff, but, genuinely surprised they made TJ Pwn 3 a big deal. I want my transforming car. Just saying, make that shit happen right now, Hasbro. I know you're listening. I'm trying to think.
So of course the film's out on Blu-ray now,
mm-hmm.
for all to purchase. And so what do you guys think?
It's not bloody well out here yet.
Oh yeah, that's right. English release schedules. So for those of us who are able to access it, what are some of the extras on there?
Well, you do get all the songs that were released, like I said, via the Hub and YouTube. You also get three sing-along songs as well, and an audio commentary. I can't remember the names of the people involved from Hasbro, but I know Megan McCarthy is on it as well. And it's, I wouldn't call it terribly informative, but I would call it genuinely interesting to listen to, especially when you hear them point out certain shots or how they accomplish certain bits of the animation. They actually, they're talking about one part where Twilight Sparkle's in the kitchen in the middle of the night at the slumber party, and she's talking with Sunset Shimmer, and they're talking about how they had to crank the After Effects lighting in that shot, and they're like, I hate doing this in Flash, but when you can push it, you can do some really amazing things. And just, it's little, It's little bits like that that I like that they acknowledge during the animation process. They'll say, this was really hard, this was really cool, here's how we accomplish X. There's one shot that I actually kind of want to go back through the Blu-ray on my computer, freeze frame it, and make a wallpaper out of it. It's where you might remember this shot. I don't know. It's where I can't pronounce the name of the main siren. The blonde.
Sonata?
That's it. No, wait. No, it started with an H or something.
There was Sonata, Aria, and Adagio.
Oh, that's it. Adagio. So they're talking, or she's singing on stage, and the camera pans from left to right, and she's got this golden light behind her, and her hand is moving in front of her face as she's singing. And there's one or two frames in there that I think would make a phenomenal wallpaper. In fact, that's something about the Rainbow Rocks thing as a whole. The movie itself is gorgeous looking. It really is, in terms of a piece of animation. There are great parts in this that would make a wonderful set
especially,
of...
Especially, as you say, especially considering it's Flash, which as a animation medium is actually pretty limited. So they must have really pushed the boat out and, you know, really stretched what it was capable of to make it look as good as it did.
Yeah, and seeing all the vivid color on Blu-ray, hearing the richness of the sound, like when I watched this today, I was listening to it on a 5.1 mix, and it sounds amazing. I was wondering what my neighbors were gonna think of me when they hear some of the girly music coming out of my coming out of my apartment, considering it's normally like hard rock. But honestly, I think the Blu-ray DVD from Shout Factory, it's a fantastic value. I paid $20 for the DVD, the Blu-ray, and the digital download. Three movies for $20. And I like the fact that now a lot of companies, if you buy the Blu-ray, here's the DVD, Merry Christmas. They don't have to do that.
See, I thought it was kind of bare bones. I was like, you know, you've got the shorts and then the commentary, but then that's kind of like that's kind of it. I thought they might have gone a little more all out on it.
See,
But then again, I have to remind myself, I'm not necessarily the kind of person that this thing is really supposed to be marketed to. So,
well, you bring up an interesting point there, saying it is kind of bare bones for a child's DVD, or a child's movie, whatever. I'd say it's fairly extensive. The fact that they even included the audio commentary, that's for us. That's the adult fan in there. I found it very curious they didn't include one with the voice actresses. They tried that with the My Little Pony seasons, where they have the actresses comment on certain episodes. And frankly, it was kind of hit or miss in terms of content or how funny it actually was. Now, when this show reaches, say, a 10-year anniversary or something, and the fandom has died down to where it was, you know, we have our five seasons, let's say, our five-season box sets, our movies. A company like Shout Factory, it would not surprise me in the very least if they came back in 10 years and said, okay, guys, we're going to release a two-set of Equestria Girls, and we're going to redo all the special features for adult fans. It really wouldn't surprise me, or make it like a really limited edition like they did with their recent Halloween box set, where they redid as much of the crap as they could, gave you new packaging. Basically, they went all out, or give it the Power Rangers kind of treatment, where they went out and did a bunch of special things for it. I think that'd be fantastic if they did. So the fact that we got an audio commentary from members of the production team, I think says something that at least Shout Factory acknowledges people like us, fans. And having all the animated shorts there, I think it is something kind of special. Just the fact that they didn't have to, because it's already available on YouTube and wherever else. You don't necessarily need it, but now that we have it, it's nice to have in high definition. Overall, I'd say for $20, it's not bad. That's a pretty decent value. So you can find that, I think, at ShoutFactory.com or wherever DVDs and Blu-rays are sold, typically, like your Walmarts, your Targets, your Best Buys, whatever.
If you're in the UK, I don't think it's out until next month, but it should be out. I think it's the beginning of December. I will have to double check.
So,
but I don't have my favorites on this PC.
But sooner or later, everybody should be able to get a chance to check this out. I imagine this will be on Netflix in probably a few months. It wouldn't surprise me, because I know Equestria Girls came out on Netflix fairly quickly. So I'd imagine probably before next March. Either way, the movie is worth watching.
Mm.
Although I would say you want to see the first one to grab the context of a lot of what happens. Because without seeing the first one, Sunset Shimmer's journey means a little bit less if you don't see the first one. So, I don't know. Honestly, they're worth seeing back-to-back, honestly. It's not a bad way to kill a couple of hours. So I guess kind of closing thoughts on this new franchise in Ponydom.
I want them to just say to hell with it and just make a TV series out of this. And I honestly think that's where they're going. I think once they once the steam finally runs out on Friendship is Magic, they're gonna go, okay, we've got Equestria Girls, let's see how this runs. And they'll probably make a TV series out of that. They've already sown the seeds for it with the stinger at the end of the second movie.
Yeah, and as we were talking about Equestria Girls, Days of Future Past, I think that's what I'm going to call this episode, actually. There are so many possibilities here. In fact, I hope they do a trilogy of movies for this, and then the trilogy movie transitions into the TV series. I'd be really happy with that. Or give us an Equestria Girls special every year for as long as the series remains profitable. But if I had to ask for anything, I'd like to see an Equestria Girls more specials in the comics. In fact, I don't know whether this has happened yet because I haven't visited my comic book shop to pick up my comics in like a month. I'd like to know if they ever did a Sunset Shimmer miniseries, because I know in the comics each of the ponies, or at least most of them, got their own issue by themselves.
I've been keeping up, and I can tell you they have not.
They need to make that happen now.
Because I really want to see the confrontation / reconciliation between Sunset Shimmer and Princess Celestia.
Well, the confrontation you can see in one of the annuals, which the annual for last year was basically centered around Equestria Girls, and one of the stories was actually about Sunset Shimmer and Celestia's final confrontation and Sunset Shimmer running off through the mirror. So you the first half of that you can see. The reconciliation.
Yeah,
I want to
see the second half.
Yeah, the second half is still up in the air.
Like, because I think Equestria Girls introduced more personality in the background ponies than we've seen in the regular series, and it gave us a genuinely new and interesting character in Sunset. So that's what I want to see out of this. Or I'd like to see a crossover, maybe for if ponies does mid-season finales, maybe have the crossover on TV happen, and maybe you could use that as like a backdoor pilot to see how profitable the Equestria Girls things could be. But then again, considering that they have had a limited theatrical release, they do believe in them somewhat, that this could be a continuation once Gonzo said the franchise runs out of steam.
Yeah, interestingly enough, in the UK, I'm not sure if this is all of Europe, but definitely in the UK, Equestria Girls itself did not get a theatrical release at all in the UK, but Rainbow Rocks did get a limited theatrical release. Nowhere near me, sadly, but
well, you live on the far side of, you live in the Forgotten Vale of Skyrim, so
Tamriel does not get first run theatrical. But yeah, honestly, I really like this stuff, and I'm willing to eat my words that I said on this show probably about a year and a half ago that I didn't know whether this process would work again. I'm so surprised, and I'm so happy that I was wrong.
Well, let's see if they can keep it up for a third run.
Exactly. So hopefully we'll get a fantastic trilogy of movies. Maybe we'll get the Return of the King of Pony films and not Return of the Jedi. I guess we'll just have to see. So I guess any
closing thoughts?
All right,
you and I are
going
to have words after this show, because Jedi was awesome, and I will fight the man who says otherwise.
Muppets, dude. Muppets. But then again, Return of the King and the 37 endings, so... Anyway, so is there anything you guys want to pimp out for your shows in the next little while?
Well, I don't know if you've made the announcement yet, but Nerd of the Third Power is going to be moving over to This Week in Geek in the near future.
Woo! More content for us.
Yay! So, yeah, we're anticipating the final, our first appearance after the turn of the new year. So, yeah, it's going to be fun seeing our new family, and that's going to be fun. And, of course, right now, as always, you can find us for now on our Facebook or on YouTube or at thatguywiththeglasses.com. And we're still hard at work on our own website. Still got a couple of kinks to hammer out before we can go up for a proper launch. But yeah, we've got some fun stuff planned. Also, Brian, our comic book guy, he's actually started doing a Let's Play of Lego Marvel Superheroes, which he's got a real talent for. I was really surprised by it, but he's got a real talent for Let's Plays, and he's got, I think, 10 pieces of it up on his YouTube right now, Nerd of the Third Power, Brian. And definitely check those out. That's going to be a lot of fun. And that's about all I can think of off the top of my head to promote.
For myself, obviously, keep it locked to thisweekingeek.net for more great geek content. You should be hearing me more across radio in Canada and the U.S. in the coming weeks because, let's face it, holiday season's here. I'm here to tell you what's good, what's crap, without any politics behind it. I'll let you know what games are worth your money and what other ones you should probably just leave on the shelf for someone who is less informed. So anyway, guys, for Last Exit to Ponyville, we have been...
Dr. Gonzo.
Skyblaze.
And I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, friendship really is magic.
You've been listening to ThisWeekInGeek.net's Last Exit to Ponyville. We want you to help make the show at least 20% cooler by your getting involved. Call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net, subject line Ponyville. We also have our official Facebook, which is facebook.com/lastexittoponyville. Subscribe to us through iTunes or any podcatcher. Thanks for listening to us and keep it locked to EquestriaDaily.com and ThisWeekInGeek.net. And until next show, remember, friendship is magic.